The Morrison government has announced a major overhaul of the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Following the careful considerations of the Department of Social Services Tune Review, NDIS Minister Stuart Robert outlined the road ahead for the NDIS at the National Press Club on Thursday. What exactly are the future challenges and potential pitfalls of the program? Lachlan McPherson has the story.
Addressing the National Press Club on Thursday, and in a media release published this morning, Minister for the National Disability Insurance Scheme, Stuart Robert, spoke of the practical changes that the Morrison government will implement to ensure the program's long-term success. With the aim of delivering a world-leading NDIS with an estimated 500,000 participants over the next 5 years, the government's plan, which will guide them for the next 12 to 24 months, features what Minister Robert refers to as six core swim lanes. Here he is, listing them to the press club late last week.
Firstly, quicker access and quality decision-making. Secondly, increased engagement and collaboration. Market innovation and improved tech. A financially sustainable scheme. Equitable and consistent decisions. And improving long-term outcomes.
In the media release that was published in conjunction with his press club appearance, Minister Robert championed two practical changes to NDIS planning, whereby participants will have the opportunity to request longer plan durations of up to 3 years if their support needs are stable, and be given the option of receiving their plan in a range of accessible formats, including large font, audio, e-text, and braille. Amanda Brickwood, who is the Regional Coordinator of Disability Advocacy New South Wales, sees this as a move in the right direction. But in speaking to the first of the two intentions that Minister Robert championed, Ms. Brickwood said that these longer plans must be accompanied by more and better trained staff who can respond to participants if their support needs do change within this extended period of time.
One of the main things that we're dealing with is that if someone actually has a change in circumstances or something happens outside of their normal scheduled review time, people have to come to an advocate to try and get that communicated to the agency because the agency are so unresponsive to anything outside of their scheduled review times because they are so busy. I don't believe it's an intentional thing that they don't want to deal with it. It's just that they are so busy just working through the people that they do have there that if you have a change, it's almost like we have to make complaints, request reviews, go to the Ombudsman just to get someone to actually look at something. And if that's what's going to happen to all these people who are trying to engage back with the agency outside of their time, then it's not really a positive move.
Catherine McAlpine, CEO of Inclusion Australia, the national voice for people with intellectual disability and their families, addressed the second of the two intentions that have been mentioned, arguing that the issues of accessibility go beyond the option to receive plans in large font, audio, e-text or braille.
Whilst Inclusion Australia would applaud the more accessible resources and the more accessible information that's coming out of the NDIS, we are concerned that accessibility for people with intellectual disability looks different to that. So it looks about the complexity of language. It looks to not using jargon. And so far, those issues don't look like they've been resolved. The NDIS still tends to use quite legalistic language. It uses terms that NDIS participants don't understand what they mean. And accessibility needs to include that as well.
Another key point made by Minister Robert in addressing the press club and in the accompanying media release was that the Morrison government continues to deliver on their election promises surrounding the NDIS, which were to continue funding the NDIS, rolling out new planning pathways by ensuring participants have a single point of contact and can choose to be on longer NDIS plans, expanding the NDIS Community Connectors program, introducing a new NDIS participant service guarantee, committing $45 million to developing a national disability information gateway, introducing a new 7% employment target for people with disability across the Australian Public Service by 2025, and providing $2 million to support people with autism to find and keep a job. Ms. McAlpine says that while the government is reasonably on track to deliver most of these commitments, the problem is that those commitments were not the big things that peak disability advocacy organisations were looking for and were not driven by participant needs.
The issue is a little bit less that are they on track with their election commitments, because the answer is broadly yes. Broadly yes, we are seeing action on most of those points. The problem is that the election commitments didn't necessarily respond to the greatest needs that the NDIS has.
Catherine McAlpine, CEO of Inclusion Australia, ending that report by Lachlan McPherson.